Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to our North Florida Neighborhood.
Hi, and welcome to North Florida Neighborhood. I'm Colby, and North Florida Neighborhood is all about getting to know your neighbors and everything that's happening in your community. Jacksonville can seem like it's a really big area, but when we get to hear organizations like this, we notice that we're all connected and we really are just in one big neighborhood. And today, the neighbor that we get to chat with is Y.A. Smith, the owner of Young's Karate Association. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Colby. Appreciate you having me.
Now, YA, kind of tell me about the Karate Association that you're first a part of.
We've been teaching at Trinity. Well, we've been teaching in Jacksonville, per se, since 1987, I think. We've been over at Trinity Baptist Church for about 7 years. Not really a part of the church, but we almost feel like we are, simply for the fact that they've been so kind to us to help us out and work with us over the years and working with the karate club over there, the karate class.
So for this karate club, is it something that you just offer as a service to the community?
Well, there is a slight charge, and we have a few expenses like insurance and things like that, even though the church is very generous in their portion of it. But it's $35 for the first person and $20 for the second person. So you won't hardly find any cheaper instruction in town. And we're ranked in Shotokan karate, which is the Japanese style of karate. But we've added a number of other techniques from systems all through the world. And most of our instructors, we have 6 active instructors right now, most of them are trained in at least 2 different disciplines. And we do all ages. Our youngest student is probably 4 if the parent maybe takes it with them. And our oldest student was 93.
Whoa.
The whole thing. Plus, we do disabled. We've done had a gentleman who came to us years ago and actually became a very good friend of the family, and he was totally blind.
This is literally for anybody.
Anybody that would like to come, and we make adjustments. If you can't do something a certain way, then we adjust the way you do it so that it works for you.
YA, kind of walk me through what it looks like to attend one of y'all's like classes.
Okay, you would come in and there's no appointment necessary. You can just walk in and visit with us. We're there at Trinity Baptist Church on Hammond Boulevard, 800 Hammond Boulevard. Excuse me. And you just walk in and we pick it up from there. We're a very, easygoing type martial arts school. We're not saying we don't train hard and require discipline. We do. But we like to make it fun for everybody, for the adults as well as the children. And we would pair you up with somebody and one of the instructors and get you started right off. So it's not a big deal as far as the process of getting started.
And it sounds like everybody that's there, you mentioned you had like 6 trainers or so, but it really sounds like everybody's just there to have fun. Yeah, learn, but y'all are a big family.
Exactly. And that's the way we've always approached it. None of our instructors are paid. The money we do take in is funneled back into the instructors going to seminars and learning additional stuff to bring back to the students. So, yeah, it's a non-profit organization, I guess, by design, not by designation, but we designed it that way that we wouldn't be in it to make money. We just do it for the love of the art.
And how did this get started? Like, y'all have been around for a solid amount of time.
Yeah, I think it was 1987. Gosh, my memory fails as far as actual dates. But we started out at Forest High School many years ago and then went from there to a commercial school over here on the west side there on Ramona. I eventually got tired of fooling with the details of business, if you will, and sold that location to a friend of mine. And then moved over to Trinity, where we're not under any pressure to make any bills or any money we take in, we give to the church, and then it gives us a portion of it back, and then, as I said, we recycle that into seminars.
So really just kind of kickstarted, hey, I want to have fun and teach others what I'm passionate about.
Exactly, exactly. And we try to teach people not only to learn karate, but we also teach them to teach karate.
Okay, so when somebody learns karate, you know, I feel like we've all just have that mentality of the Karate Kid. You're going to go and fight somebody.
Yeah,
or
holler and do double backflips.
Yeah, so what's the reality?
Well, the reality of it is what we train for and try to extend to our students is we tell them that, you know, you don't ever use karate for aggressive purposes. It's used only for defensive purposes, and that if you do get into a situation where you are forced to use your martial arts, then you have one thing to do, and that one thing is to leave there alive, period. And I think one of the hardest things to get across to people is, you know, you have your rights. Nobody has a right to touch you or push you or do anything to you or to even get in within your space. We say you have a space and that's your space, and when somebody gets in that space, then you're basically attacking that person, and they have a right to defend themselves.
So really learning, so
that's kind of what we're about, is being sure that our students are capable of defending themselves and knowing when to do that and when not to.
And overall safe while doing so.
Yes, exactly.
Just because we show you how to roundhouse kick someone doesn't mean you can just do it whenever you want.
Yeah, don't just jump up and start meeting a guy on the street and popping. Yeah, exactly. And we take a very dim view of people doing anything that is not in compliance with what we teach. I mean, I have kicked people out of my school before when I found out that they're using it or abusing it, I guess would be a better word, in their school with their brothers and sisters, or whatever. You know, if they don't use it as it was taught to them and the reason it was taught to them for, then at that point they're no longer welcome in our school to train.
Right, you've lost the privilege. Well, YA, I want to know, I was kind of reading up on you, not going to lie, and it said you had like a certain degree of black belt, I guess. I don't really know how to phrase it. So I was under the impression the highest belt someone could get was a black belt, but is that not the case?
No, that's not the case. Excuse me, goodness. You have 10 of what they call Q ranks, K-Y-U ranks. That just means an under black belt rank. And you test for each one of those as you progress up in your knowledge and belt rank. And then once you reach a black belt, then there are also 10 ranks of black belt as well.
Oh.
So in fact, the old wisdom is that you never really begin to learn martial arts and karate until you get your black belt.
Because then it's a whole nother level.
Exactly. And so many people will come in and if this is what they want, that's fine, but they'll train to get, and they, once they get their black belt, then they're gone. We don't see them anymore. And again, if that's what they're after, that's fine. But you know, the black belt really is just the beginning of the journey, if you will.
Can I ask which level of black belt you are?
Well, right now, I'm a sixth. My son and I both are sixth. Young. Mm-hmm. And we were told, in fact, he told me at the little seminar that we were all at there, that Young sponsored. Grandmaster Hogan took me outside and told me that at our upcoming seminar that he was going to promote Young and I to a seventh degree black belt.
Oh, my gosh. So what's the difference between a sixth and a seven? Do you really feel like you've learned so much?
Well, Grandmaster Hogan's dad, who was the one that started that organization, he and I were pretty good friends. And Jack always said that from your first degree to your fifth degree, is all the promotions are all about what you have done in karate. and what you're physically capable of doing and whatever. And then he says anything from a sixth on up to a tenth, which, I mean, you know, I always tell people they bury you with your 10th degree black belt. You don't get to walk around with it. That's the ultimate promotion. But up from a sixth to a tenth is what you have done for karate or martial arts in general. I mean, that was his philosophy.
Oh, wow.
And as far as the belt goes, from a first to a fourth, this is just in our systems, and systems do vary. But from the first to the fourth degree, you wear a black belt with stripes on it, first, second, third, and fourth, a stripe for each one. When you reach your fifth degree, I'm sorry, excuse me, that's through third degree. When you reach your fourth degree, then you wear a belt that is black on one side and red on the other side. That's considered a master's level. Then you wear that belt until you get to a seventh degree, which is where Young and I will be, hopefully, after, unless Sensei David changes his mind, hopefully he won't. After you reach that seventh degree, then you turn that belt over. Under the seventh, you're showing the black on the outside and the red is in. Above a seventh, you put the black in and the red shows on the outside. I don't know if that answered your question or not.
No, it definitely does, and I think it even solidifies that when we train with you and get to know you, we know that we are being trained by one of the best of the best. So, YA, again, tell me how we can learn more info and if there's a certain website we can go to so we can maybe even sign up for some of these classes.
There is. In fact, I wanted to mention a couple other classes, too, but that we offer there. But you can go to us on Facebook. You can look on, friend us on Facebook as Young's Karate or as Young's Martial Arts, either or. We have two sites. And also for a website, the website is AAYoungsKarate.com, like AAYoungsKarate.com.
Well, perfect. YA, thank you so much for being such a great neighbor in our neighborhood.
Well, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate that.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, at Jacksonville.radio. Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood.
Hey, and welcome to North Florida Neighborhood. I'm Colby, and North Florida Neighborhood is here to just tell you what's happening in your neighborhood and kind of letting you know what events are happening and how we can love on you and serve you. And today we're going to learn how we can serve others. And that's because we're going to be chatting with Karen, who's here with the Life South Community Blood Drive. Karen, thank you so much for joining us again.
Oh, thank you, Colby. Always a pleasure to speak with you.
And it's so cool because you bring such a different light to us on how important it is donating blood. So first, Karen, will you just unravel who Life South Community Blood Drive is?
Of course. Life South Community Blood Centers is a 501c3 nonprofit blood collection agency. And here on the First Coast, we provide all the blood needed for patients at Wilson's Children's Hospital, Memorial Hospital, Orange Park Medical Center, and all Baptist Health locations. So we're pretty busy here in North Florida.
Yeah, you said all the blood needed. Like, you are their sole provider?
Absolutely. We're the exclusive blood provider for those hospitals that I just mentioned. And we also provide support to other parts of Baptist Health System, such as MD Anderson and other cancer treatment facilities here in North Florida. So even though we supply those hospitals, our reach actually expands quite a bit further out than just the individual health centers.
So just to kind of put things in perspective, how much blood is needed, like, say, a week, every other week, or even a month, like, solely from y'all?
Well, I was not a math major in college, so
yeah,
I'm not
same.
The best at figuring out the exact the exact date for the month, but we collect around 350,000 blood donations a year. And, of course, that fluctuates depending on whatever's going on in the area. And right now, with the 500% increase in need for convalescent plasma, the need's even greater.
Okay, 500% increase. Why is that? Like, because of COVID?
Absolutely, absolutely. So the convalescent plasma that we're currently in a big need for, that's the antibodies that are from people that have recovered from COVID-19, and they don't always need to have had a serious case where they were hospitalized. But that convalescent plasma is being used to treat patients since we're still having cases of COVID here in our area. So as that's being used for treatment, it's flying off our shelves, and we literally don't have enough to keep up with the demand. So we do encourage anybody, if you've had even a slight case of COVID-19, to consider coming down to get tested to see if you might be able to help your neighbor recover from COVID-19.
But even if we haven't had COVID or had to unfortunately deal with that, we can still help you guys in a different area.
Oh, absolutely. Blood is needed every day. We just finished wrapping up Sickle Cell Awareness Month in September, and that movement's called Movement 365. And it goes not only for sickle cell, but for all other people out there that are needing blood transfusions. We need donors to come in every day of the year to help us with those needs, to help our patients.
Well, Karen, you said we're just now kind of transitioning out of Sickle Cell Awareness Month. How did Life South bring awareness?
So we had a lot of media partners we worked with where we spread the word about it. We worked with some local media outlets, as well as some of our hospital partners and some local churches in the community to really get the word out there. You know, a lot of people don't realize what an issue sickle cell disease actually is for the African-American community. So we reached out to as many outlets as we can to help spread this very important message.
And for those of us who don't know what sickle cell is, Karen, will you give us a rundown on that?
Sure. So sickle cell disease, it's a disease that pretty much affects mostly African Americans. It does affect some people from Latin backgrounds as well, and some people from the Caribbean islands and some like in Western Europe. But what it is a normal healthy red blood cell. It looks kind of like a donut. It's nice and squishy and easily passes through your through your blood vessels to deliver oxygen to the tissues that need it. But with sickle cell, red blood cells are shaped more like a crunched down C. And so they get hung up in little capillaries and blood vessels so that oxygen your body needs doesn't get there. And it's a very serious disease. It can cause heart attacks, strokes. Unfortunately, lots of little ones that have the disease may not make it past the first couple years, and it's an ongoing disease. So the only way to treat it is have a blood transfusion where those little C-shaped sickle cells are replaced by the nice, healthy, little donut-shaped red blood cells.
And it's cool because before you kind of gave us the rundown on that, Karen, you were saying how this isn't just 1 month that you're bringing awareness, but y'all kind of deemed it as the 365 movement because it's year-round for y'all.
Absolutely, and it's also because one in 365 African-American births will result in that child having sickle cell disease.
Oh, my goodness. Now, did you guys have, although it's year-round, did y'all have a good spike in numbers this past month with people helping donate?
You know, it wasn't as high a turnout as it has been in the previous years, which, of course, we are dealing in a time that's unprecedented for us. So that was to be expected. But, you know, we have 11 months to still use Movement 365. So even if you weren't able to donate in September, we would love to see you any other month of the year. We would just love to see you, period, to be honest. So if you have the time, we'd love to see you. Just like our population here in Jacksonville, our blood supply needs to be diverse. So we're always looking for people to come in and share the gift of life with us.
And it's cool because while others are sharing the gift of life with you, y'all are then able to sprinkle that everywhere, and not just in Florida, but y'all are also helping the victims from Hurricane Sally in Alabama.
Absolutely. You know, our main focus is making sure that our local community blood supply has what it needs. But whenever there's a disaster, really we all pull together and try to help those that are so impacted by the hurricane. So it's kind of a group effort. Whenever something that happens, we all get to work and help each other to make sure those supplies are there when it's needed.
Do y'all have boots on the ground there, or is it kind of y'all are transferring things over there?
So we are in Alabama. We're in Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. So we do have some boots that are over on the ground. But we also just ship in the blood. It just kind of depends on the need and what our status here and how they need us to help. Sometimes it just depends. If I know in Alabama there's a pretty large donor base. So if they definitely need anything, we definitely do our best to work with them.
Man, and it's encouraging and it's exciting knowing that if we're here in Florida giving, that has the potential to reach so many other people.
Absolutely. We try to send love whenever something happens. You know, we have the resource available. We have to help. I mean, that's what Life's Out and the philanthropy effort and getting people to have that donor mindset is all about, you know.
Yeah, and we're slowly transitioning out of hurricane season, thankfully. But what else do we have to look forward to with Life's Out come this fall?
Well, we're really happy to bring back our Bleed for Your Team promotion. So, as you know, football here in Florida, Georgia, and Alabama is huge. So every fall, we encourage football fans to engage in a little friendly competition called Bleed for Your Team. So we have here in Northeast Florida, we have the Florida Gators, we've got Georgia Bulldogs, Alabama T-shirts. That are available to our donors to kind of bleed for your team. So we encourage a little friendly competition, especially here since we do have that Florida-Georgia football game coming up in November this year.
And what do these T-shirts look like? Do we just go online to buy them? How can we get on board and help support y'all with that?
Well, these cannot be purchased. These are actually exclusive
Ooh.
For our very special donors that take the time to come in and really are bleeding for your team. I know when my husband attended college, he was always really excited to donate blood because he got the really cool T-shirts. So that's something that I don't think a lot of people ever grow out of. So we're really happy to offer these. They're exclusively for our donors. They can only get them by donating and giving life to others here in our community.
Such a cool incentive. And like you said, perfect timing because we're in the South and the South loves their football.
Absolutely. I mean, who doesn't love supporting a football team? We do have this nice, lovely weather. And remember, we still have some hot days. So if you need some relief, you can find our blood mobiles all around town that's nice and AC.
Yeah, Karen, I was going to ask, how can we go about finding out y'all's next locations of where these blood mobiles are going
to
be?
Of course. You can go to our website. It's lifesouth.org. We have a blood drive locator there. We have blood drives 363 days of the year. The only days we don't have blood drives are on Christmas Day and Thanksgiving Day. So you can always find us around, and we would really love to see you right now.
And how long does it take? It's not long, right?
No, it's not that long. Pretty much from start to finish, it takes about 45 minutes. The part that takes the longest is actually asking you all the questions to make sure that you are, in fact, healthy enough to donate blood. The part where you're actually in the chair donating is about 10 minutes, and that time we invite you to have lots of snacks. We've got some really yummy Nutter Butters and Oreos and apple juice. So you can have a nice little break, and then they'll be done. We'll wrap your arm up, and you can go about your day.
So super quick. And again, Karen, tell us that website of how we can find out more and how we can just better support y'all.
We would love to have you visit lifesouth.org. If you're a business that would be interested in hosting a blood drive, you could also find some information there. We work with companies of all different sizes. There's no charge to have a blood mobile come out. And it's a great way to establish some teamwork and camaraderie at your place of business.
Well, great, Karen. Thank you so much again just for taking the time to chat with us and for overall continuing to be such a great neighbor in your neighborhood.
Oh, Colby, we thank you so much. We really appreciate your help getting the word out that we need those blood donors to come in and help save some local lives right here in Jacksonville.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, at jacksonville.radio. You can't seem to get away from the bad news, so here's some good news for a change.
A farmer wanted to somehow bring joy to everybody during the pandemic, so he decided to do what he does best, plant sunflowers. And he didn't just plant a few here and there, but he planted over 2 million. The farmer said when he realized the pandemic wasn't really going anywhere, he wanted to provide a way for people to social distance and smile. Anyone can come and pick the sunflowers. Now that's good news.
These are unique times, and Jacksonville.radio is standing with you. We provide local, family-friendly radio across multiple formats and frequencies with a diverse and loyal audience. Let us help get your message and your marketing into our communities. Call Jacks.radio today so we can discuss how we can help your business. Let us help you get the right message in front of the right audience at the right time. Call 904-74-RIGHT. That's 904-747-448.
When's a good time for a 5-hour energy shot? At work, when deadlines are tight.
I need it on my desk by 5.
Okay, got it.
When you have to work late.
Hey, looks like another late one. Not sure when I'll be home.
When the afternoon lull strikes. 5-hour energy is made for hardworking people like you. Just crack it open, knock it back, and get ready for the alert, energized feeling you need to get stuff done. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com.
Have you wanted to speak a new language but thought it would be too difficult? Then try Babbel. Babbel starts by teaching you words and phrases that gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations. So in 15 minutes a day, you'll be speaking a new language in a few weeks. Babbel is built around real life. It teaches you practical conversations that you will actually use. Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a language today. That's Babbel.com. Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
You are invited to daydream of this rare opportunity to lease freestanding commercial space in beautiful Ponte Vedra Beach. Zoning allows for use as an office, retail, medical, school, or event venue, and much more. With over 7,500 square feet, the options are endless with this unique building, located among national retailers along one of the area's busiest roads. There are tile floors, beautiful arched pathways, outdoor event space with a water feature, monument signage, majestic landscaping, and more. Located 1 mile from the beautiful sandy beaches of the Atlantic coast and positioned near TPC Sawgrass, this property may be exactly what you're looking for. This is your opportunity to lease prime commercial space in Ponte Vedra Beach. Call Kayla DeGuzman with Prime Realty at 904-67-LEASE to discuss the possibilities. That's 904-67-LEASE, and let's turn your daydream into a reality. Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood.
Welcome to North Florida Neighborhood. I'm Colby, and North Florida Neighborhood is all about getting to know our neighbors and seeing what they're doing with us and for us, and more so during a time where we are in a global pandemic and a global crisis. And today, we get the privilege of chatting with Sarah Hill, the Director of Partnership and Programs with Feeding Northeast Florida. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I love learning about these new organizations, but Feeding Northeast Florida, like, y'all didn't just sprout out of nowhere. Y'all have been around for quite a while, right?
We have. Our organization started back in 2014 after the former food bank, Second Harvest, had to close. So we've been doing this for about 6 years now and have really been focusing in, especially now with COVID, on making sure that all of our community members throughout the counties that we serve have the food access that they need to put food on their table.
So, Sarah, kind of give me some background info on who Feeding Northeast Florida is.
So Feeding Northeast Florida is a food bank that's affiliated with Feeding America that serves 8 counties in Northeast Florida. So we're based out of Duval County, where the majority of the clients that we serve live. Most of the families who need help live in Duval County, but there's hunger all across our county. So we work in 8 of those counties to make sure that there's enough high-quality, healthy food going into those counties for the families who sometimes have some gaps. So about 60% of the families that we work with are working. They have full-time or part-time jobs, but they just can't make their paycheck stretch long enough to reliably provide food for their family. So we work with them to help fill those gaps, to get them the food that they need so that they don't have to skip meals in order to make it.
It's incredible when you, I mean, it's right there in the title. It says Feeding Northeast Florida. And in my mind, like, Feeding Jacksonville is a lot to comprehend, but y'all are serving 8 counties.
It is. It is. We have, in our community, there's about 309,000 people who are considered food insecure, which is a little bit different than being hungry. Food insecure means that you aren't necessarily skipping all your meals. You're not starving, but you do have these gaps where you have to eat low-quality food or you have to skip a meal or two to get through. So sometimes that looks like parents who feed their children first and oftentimes just eat whatever is left over so that their kids can eat. And those are the kind of situations where we try to step in and make sure that there's enough food for the whole family.
It's just so emotional because you don't just that sacrificial love for these parents to go without a meal so that their kids can have it. But you guys are coming in and saying, no, we have plenty and abundantly more for your entire family.
Yes, it's amazing, actually. There is enough food in our counties to serve everyone who's hungry. The challenge is to get that food to the families who need it. So ultimately, Feeding Northeast Florida is just a giant logistics company. We are a warehouse. We have trucks and drivers and giant walk-in refrigerators and forklifts. And it's funny that that is the solution to solving food insecurity for those families. It's all about logistics.
Yeah, so how the challenge is to get the food, and I mean, you have all these gadgets and gadgets like you just named, and I mean, we can even hear them in the background, but how do you do it?
So we have partnerships with local organizations that have food. So grocery stores, distribution centers, manufacturers, farms, we maintain those relationships with local people who have food. They donate whatever is excess. So that can be, like, at the grocery store, a can that maybe somebody dropped and is dented, but the food inside is still fine. Sometimes it can be farms that have beautiful produce, but when they planted the produce, they thought they'd make a profit, and now that it's come time to harvest it, it's actually cheaper for them to just go over the perfectly good food. So we have volunteers that go in and help glean those items from the field so that they can be taken to families who are in need. So we have partnerships with people who have food. The food comes back to our warehouse, and we have an army of volunteers that help us sort through the food to make sure that it's fresh and safe to be consumed. And then we work with community partners to actually distribute the food. So we have over 300 partners in our 8-county service area that are rooted in their communities, and they know who the people are that need a little bit of help. And so they host food pantries and soup kitchens. They have residential programs. They work with kids after school. They work with seniors. And they help get food to the people in their community that need it.
A Okay, I'm glad you kind of explained it. Like, you guys are almost the head of the operation, and you have all these moving parts that help with the body when it comes to distributing, gathering, putting it in the refrigerator.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And that's a big part of it, too, is refrigeration, because so much of the food that we get donated, about 70%, has to be refrigerated. It's either fresh produce, or it's dairy items, or cheese, and those things require refrigeration. So we have to have massive refrigerated storage facilities, as well as refrigerated trucks, so that we make sure to get that food to people at the right temperature so that it won't make them sick.
And I like how you said this is, or I don't know if you said it or not, but you're definitely implying this is quality food. This isn't just things that have expired and we're taking it off the shelves, but good food that nobody's buying.
Yes, yes. Almost 50% is just straight produce. So it is local, you know, cabbage and potatoes that come from a farm down near Hastings. We also share produce with other food banks in the Feeding America network. So, you know, when we have a ton of cabbage on hand, we'll trade with a food bank in Washington and get a whole bunch of apples. So it's really high-quality food that we're trying to put into the community, because we know if we're really trying to move the needle on food insecurity and health, we have to do that with healthy food. You can't just do that with, you know, Cheez-Its and donuts.
And it's encouraging that it's not just somebody's sloppy leftovers, because I can only imagine how difficult and even humbling it is to come and ask for food, but then to be given something that's like less than would hurt even more. But y'all are literally, again, giving the best of the best.
Yeah, that's so true. I have so many families that come up to me at distributions and are fighting back tears because they never thought that they would have to be in line to receive food assistance. And when they see that a lot of our distributions are set up to where they can actually go and shop for the food that they need, so they aren't just given a pre-packed bag of food, they can actually choose between broccoli and cabbage. It raises their spirits and provides an amount of dignity that a lot of people don't expect from, you know, a food distribution.
I love that you use that word, dignity. And exactly what you just debunked was, I thought you kind of drive up, you get handed a big Kroger bag, you know, and then you drive away. So walk me through the process, Sarah, of what it looks like to get fed.
So the process has changed a little bit through COVID, and we have had to do a bit more pre-packing than we generally like to, just to keep our volunteers and our clients safe. But for the most part, our distributions, we either have things arranged on shelves, just like a grocery store, or set out on tables in categories. And our clients can actually go through and choose items from each table. So, for example, we'll have, you know, all the produce on assembled in one section, and we'll tell clients as they come in that they can choose three items from this section. So that could mean that they get three big bags of potatoes and they, you know, make potato salad for a week. Or they can get some potatoes and some broccoli and some apples, and they can spread it out through the week. So they're able to choose the items that they know that they will eat and that their families will enjoy, and they can also make choices based on their dietary restrictions or allergies as well. Because the last thing we want to do is give someone food that they can't or won't eat.
Because then it just goes to waste.
Exactly. And that's the whole point, is we're trying to avoid waste. We're taking excess food and connecting it to people who are hungry. And if we have waste in that process, we're spinning our wheels for nothing.
So I thought it was really interesting when you started off saying 60% of these families are working and they just don't have enough money. They can't do it. So I get that Feeding Northeast Florida is here to truly feed people, but what is the end goal? Is it to try and lessen that number to say 50% or maybe 40%?
So our end goal, really, and the reason why we sometimes use the word food insecurity instead of hunger, is that if I feed you, you're going to be hungry later today. But if I get you to a point where you're no longer food insecure and you have food security, then that means that you're going to be hungry because dinner time is rolling around. But you are going to have the basis and the foundation of food security. So you're going to know I have food when my next meal comes around. I have food for next week. I have food for my kids for lunch tomorrow. And so that's really what we're trying to get at, is making sure that people know that they have a reliable access to food, because that gets rid of so much anxiety that these families face. And if we're able to provide food for these families, then they can focus the limited budget that they do have on other life necessities, like rent and mortgage and gas and transportation and medicine. So many seniors come to us and say, you know, I've been having to ration my medication because I can't afford medication and food. And that to me is completely unacceptable, because there's so much food available. We just have to get it to the people who need it.
Right. Like, that shouldn't even be an option. And it sounds like you guys are coming in and taking on the form of being these families constant. Y'all are consistent with your actions and what you're providing for them.
Yes. And you asked earlier about a number. So we have, as part of Feeding America, we are so grateful to have access to a whole team of data analysts and researchers. And so we have a number that we have to hit to know, or we have a number that's called the meal gap. So it's basically the number of meals that's needed to serve everyone who is food insecure. And in the 8 counties that we serve, including the huge bump in food insecurity because of COVID, our number is about 62 million pounds of food. So that's the number that we are always striving for. That's the goal. If we get to where we're distributing 62 million pounds of food a year, then that means that everybody who's food insecure should have access to the food that they need. And that's a big goal. We are not there yet. Our goal for this year, where we think we're going to be, our anticipated number is somewhere around 30 million pounds of food. So we're not even to half of that goal. But the food that we need is available. So when the community rises to support our mission and can help us with things like trucks and drivers and the electricity to keep our refrigerators running, then we can make progress towards that 62 million pound goal.
Again, I get the privilege of chatting with Sarah Hill. She's the Director of Partnership and Programs with Feeding Northeast Florida. And Sarah, I want to jump back to what you just said, when the community rises to help y'all meet that goal. And you guys have a partner that really helped you guys rise most recently. Can you kind of tell me about this incredible donation Feeding Northeast Florida just received?
Sure. So we have a lot of amazing partners that help us in this work. Public Supermarket Charity is being one, Southeastern Grocers, Calford Chop House. And just yesterday we received a donation, 10,000 pounds of bread and 10,000 pounds of protein, two things that we are always looking for, from Bimbo Bakeries, Tyson, and Walmart. So it's donations like that, and individual donations from members of the community, that really keeps our mission moving forward and puts food on the tables of people in our community.
These are big organizations like Tyson, Walmart. That's a household name.
Yes. It's amazing how many companies understand the need for food. And it's wonderful to see companies that work in the food industry understand that that hunger exists, even though they are distributing food themselves. And so they support their local food banks and Feeding America nationally. And we are so incredibly grateful for this partnership, because we truly could not do it without them.
These companies are beginning to kind of understand the problem that Northeast Florida is facing. So what can we, as members of the community who don't own restaurants and have access to Walmart's leftovers, do for y'all?
So there's a lot of ways people in the community can get involved. We have lots of volunteer opportunities. So you can come to the food bank, you can help us sort food, you can volunteer at food distributions to actually hand food out in the community. You can also start a food pantry in your community. So if you live in an area where there's not food pantries that already exist, give me a call and and we will set up, we'll help you set up a food pantry so that you can distribute food. You can also donate. So the food bank runs primarily on individual donations. So if you haven't been affected by COVID and you have some extra money and you're looking for a place to make sure that it's going to a worthy cause, we would gladly accept those gifts. You can also advocate for hunger. So many times in our community, people don't know about the issue of hunger and food insecurity. And so you can take some of the information that I gave today and tell your friends and family and lawmakers about hunger and food insecurity. And that can go a long way to getting some of these policies changed so that we can continue to do the work that we do.
There's so many options other than just writing a check, which of course is totally going to be appreciated and welcomed with open arms, but just down to letting other people know what's going on and kind of helping others be aware. And I also want to talk about this partnership you have with Publix, because they kind of kicked things in gear for y'all recently with another great donation.
Yeah, Publix recently donated $125,000 to the food bank to support our mission and COVID relief efforts. So when COVID hit, just like everyone, we didn't really know what to expect. We didn't know how this was going to affect the need for food. And the need post-COVID just skyrocketed because so many people were unemployed. They were home during the shutdown. They couldn't work. And they were already right on the edge of needing food assistance. They were making it work pre-COVID, but after COVID hit, there was just no way. So some of our pantries have reported seeing 3 and 4 times the number of people coming to their locations since COVID, because there's just nowhere else for them to turn. And so donations like the one from Publix and the ones that we get from lots of other donors in our community are essential to making sure that we can buy food when it's not available to be donated, so that we can feed the families who are showing up to these food distributions.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, this is a ton of money. So what does it go towards? Does it go towards keeping the refrigerators running and paying for other things that y'all have expense-wise, or does it truly go to buying food that you can then give out?
Most of it will go to food purchases. During normal times, we get so many food donations that we don't have to purchase a lot of food. Probably about 20% of the food that we distribute has to be purchased. But because of COVID, the food distribution process, the food supply chain, has been disrupted, and so there's fewer items to be donated to the food bank. So we've had to supplement that with purchased food. So if you look around our warehouse now, about 60% of what you'll see in the warehouse, we've actually had to buy with donations that come in from places like Publix. But then we also have trucks in our fleet that we have to keep on the road, which requires gas and maintenance, and we have to run the refrigerated units on them, which is also expensive. So donations also go to keep the trucks on the road so we can get the food where it needs to go.
And did you see this coming? Like, did you know that Publix was going to kind of jump in and help y'all so much?
So we partner with Publix all the time on all different levels of food insecurity. And so we know that Publix is a reliable partner, but this donation was, we didn't know the number that was coming on this check. And so we were so excited to receive this and so grateful that they understand the weight of what we're facing and are willing to, you know, stand up and help us in this fight.
And I think it speaks even in a higher volume when we hear that Feeding Northeast Florida is going to use this money and pour it right back into the community.
Yeah.
Well, this has been so incredible. And Sarah, just tell me again how we can kind of get on board and serve or help y'all in any way.
The best ways I can give you are to get involved. So volunteer, advocate, write letters, tell people in your community about food insecurity and look for ways to help. And then obviously we will always accept monetary donations to help keep this important work going.
And Sarah, what's a good website where we can learn more about Feeding Northeast Florida?
So you can learn more about Feeding Northeast Florida at our website. It's feedingnefl.org. You can also learn more about food insecurity on a nationwide level and more county-specific information at Feeding America's website, which is feedingamerica.org.
Well, great. Sarah, thank you so much for being such a great neighbor in our neighborhood.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, at jacksonville.radio.